office to my husband. I said, you know, they want to kill you. So my husband said, ah, children have done this. This is children play. 2 days later, my brother came on vacation from the army. He was in the Russian-Polish army. And we went to the theater in the evening.
Now it means, go ahead.
You're telling about, yeah, when my brother came 2 days later, we went to a theater. And when the first act was finished, my brother turned to my husband and said, you know, as soon as the second act starts and it will be dark, we all will walk out very slowly and don't tell. And I said to my brother, why? And he said, don't ask questions. Here are no questions asked. When we came out, my brother said, you walk first. And my husband's name was Maurice. We take Maurice in the middle. There was my brother. My husband was in the middle. On the other side were my brother-in-law. And my brother took the gun out, a revolver. I didn't know what was going on. To go to our room, we had to pass the Jewish Community Center, and we came there. My brother said to my husband, run up at fast. He ran fast, we ran after him. We ran up to the Community Center and closed the door. And when we came up, I said to my brother, what's that? And he said, you know, there are cops sitting. And they looked over, and the one said to the other, now we have him. Today we're going to kill him. And when we walked up, they were on the other side. The only thing, they were waiting in front of the house where you live. We outsmarted them because we went up to the Jewish Community Center.
These were Polish nationals.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't 10 minutes when it knocked on the door, and a woman voice said, I am starving, I am dying. Could I please have a glass of water? So we took chairs and table and put them in front of the door in case they should come, but they didn't come. And maybe 3 weeks later, we were told that in Krakow, there is an organization who helped Jewish people escape illegally to Palestine. When we went, we had very little money. So my husband was making money already for a couple of months. We had very little money, but we went to Krakow. We find this Jewish organization. And we went together with 10 people. We were told we have to go as Greek Jews returning home. The trip were to Czechoslovakia, to Vienna. And in Vienna, the Jewish underground was supposed to wait for us. Well, we went on the train. We were wearing like the Greek people, berets and shawls, and we were not supposed to talk anything but Hebrew. Since we didn't say Hebrew, we just switched through words, make believe. So one said Shema and the other Israel, whatever we could. And we came to Czechoslovakia, and we went to there, the Red Cross gave us help. They had Flüchtlingslager.
And in Czechoslovakia.
They had Flüchtlingslager, they fed us. And suddenly we heard that the Russian people in the Ostzone from Vienna find out about the Zionist underground, and they stopped the whole emigration to Palestine. Well, now here we were. Not this way, not that way. We didn't know what to do. And we heard that there was a German Flüchtlings movement. There was a lady by the name of Meyer. She came from Munich. And she gave a passport to return to Germany if you came from Germany. Well, you know, not macht erfinderisch. So many people, including me, whatever books we can found about the city, in this city we were born and to this city we wanted to return. So I found a book from Munich and I was sitting in the Flüchtlingslager for days and studying what in Munich is, the churches, the schools, the streets and everything. And I went up and she said to me in German, I tell you something, you definitely from Germany, otherwise you wouldn't speak this German, but you not from Munich. But since you are from Germany, I have to give you the passport, but I won't give the passport for your husband because he's not German. So I said, well, then I'm very sorry, I won't go in. So we were sitting there another week and another week. And suddenly my brother-in-law found out that there is a Jewish guy who was born in Czechoslovakia but went to college in Munich. And that illegally he brought people over to Germany. There already were Jewish community center. The UNRWA was helping already at that time. So we got in touch with this fellow. And the fellow...
Excuse me. Do you mean UNRWA was helping, or what about the Jewish organizations?
There was a Jewish community center, but the Jewish community center got everything from the UNRWA.
And there's
So we spoke with this Jewish fella, and he said it will take at least 3 weeks, at least, because he has other people to take who came first. So we really didn't know what to do or what not to do. So my husband said, you know what I'm going to do? I was studying in Breslau. No, Breslau is Deutsch.
What's the difference?
In Bratislava, yeah, it's a difference. Yeah. In Czechoslovakia, he went to the university.
Yeah, in Bratislava.
I will go and I will see how it looks. It, maybe if she will write in that I was born in Czechoslovakia and I went to the university, maybe somehow the Russian will give me a passport to go to Vienna. Maybe somehow, I don't know.
Who was this woman, this Mrs. Meyer? What was her?
Illegal? No. This was legal.
This was legal.
Das hat geheißen Flüchtlingskommission. In Czechoslovakia, oder? In Bratislava.
Yeah,
go ahead. He went to this university, he found there a young girl, and for cigarettes, which we received in the Flüchtlingslager. She found his name, but she couldn't make out the Polish name anyway where he was born, so he put on Bratislava. So he had it for himself, and he had it for my brother-in-law. They got out these two papers. And I tell you why it was so important. After 3 weeks, finally the guy came, and the guy said, look, I can take you. You three people and I have other four. But I tell you, we have to walk for 5 hours, walk and walk. So we said, fine. We went on the train. And when we came to Carlsbad, the train stopped. And when I looked out, I thought the Nazis are coming again because we were surrounded by Russian officers. And they came in and they checked all the papers and went from one to another and people were screaming, let me go, I heard my child is there, please let me go. They took everyone, here they took out, there they took out. And they came to us and they asked, everything is fake, they asked my husband where he's going. And he said, in Russian, my husband spoke Russian, he said to him, well, I'm a born Czech and I'm going to Carlsbad here. So he said, you have paper, and he handed him the paper, and he said, okay. From all the people on the train, we three were left, and the boy, who was Czechoslovakia born. We went then into Carlsbad, there we left the train, and he led us 5 hours through the woods. And then we saw already the German train, a Czechoslovak police, Grenzpolizei, catched us. And he came, and the little, he was very nice. He told to us, you know, I know what you went through, he said. Here you have the train. I will not shoot you, I will do nothing. The only thing I will do, I am poor too, whatever you have to give to me. So we didn't have much, but we had again a watch, and we had a little bit of food. He took everything. He only left us what we had.
Humanitarian.
And we went on the train. And we came to the first town where was the Jewish community center, Tirschenwald. And we went there, and there we stayed.
I tell you, before we close this day...
What you did there? What you did there afterwards in Kishinev?
That's not mehr richtig.
Tell us about Eichmann.
Eichmann was very often in Majdanek. They usually used to call us on the big place to the Appell. And then he had a whole speech. But the big man is Hitler,
how humanitarian is, what he has done for his folk. And the war is going on, but we will win. And you have to work. And then he was very, he went to the line and he had a fighter. And he just, whom he want, he just hated us. He was whipped and he came many times. He was really a beast. And many times when he saw somebody, just his eye fell. Be here, that's here, in the gas chamber. We never saw, whomever him selected, he never was seen again, never.
Who was with Eichmann when he was there? Did
an
he
officer.
Come by himself?
No, an officer came with him.
You don't know anyone?
I don't know
who
it was, no. Always a young fellow came with him. They came by car and they left by car. They never stayed overnight.
Tell us about Kirchendorf.
What is interesting for my darling, what I told you last time, we found a lot of clothes. And what people believed, for instance, I found they had boots made of material. They're very important. This must have been for a Polish Jew. They were white with black leather. But there was one had a high heel and one had a low heel. But then you had nothing to wear. Everything is good. So my husband wanted to cut off the higher heel. And he said to me, you know what? Something is in the shoe and look like money. You have to understand, in a time where we didn't see money for years.
Yes.
So he pulled it apart and he found $20. This was
$20
American dollars.
It must have been a fortune.
It was a fortune. It was really a fortune. Then we find, like I told you last time, a letter from a woman she writes to her husband. The clothes was very well. I used him. Whenever you find clothes, please send him again. Wenn sie es auch bespritzt mit Blut, it doesn't matter. Das kann man auswaschen.
This was a letter from
a from a German woman to his husband, to her husband. The letter
from
is in
German,
my darling.
A Nazi.
Yeah.
And you found this letter where?
In my darling. It's there. In the office, it's there, yeah. My Danek today is a museum.
I see.
I went with my husband in winter of 44.
The
letter is there. There are many letters there. There are many pictures there. There are the bones there we found still when we were liberated. It's today a museum. In fact, when the museum was open, Russia declared a holiday. All the stores were closed.
Did you find the Russian officers? Did the Russian officers treat you decently, or
for instance, the Jewish Russian officer was marvelous. They were marvelous. But there were some Russian officers who didn't like the Jewish people either. But they did really a lot of things. There were. In fact, when my first husband died, the rabbi mentioned it, the first transport of Jewish people from Poland to Israel, to Palestine at this time, was organized by my husband. He told the Russian government, the people are going back to their hometown. And the Russian gave him as many products as they could, sugar and canned food and bread. They were very generous. And they came to the station and they wished him good health and good faith. They were very... Some were very generous, very generous. Today, of course, everything changed.
How long were you?
Mr. Russian? About a year. Over a year.
And then
I went to Germany. I was in October 45 in Germany. And then we came here.
And what did you do during that year with the Russians?
My husband was working in the Jewish Community Center. We were very lucky.
What did the average Jew, how did he spend his time, the average survivor?
They were eating in the Jewish Community Center.
Were they working?
There was no work. There was, at that time, first of all, the war was still going on.
Yeah. Did the Russian army move through? Did they leave troops in the town?
Yeah, of course they left troops in the town, sure.
And the army was running the town.
Yeah, the army was running the town.
Now, how did the Polish civil population behave?
They didn't like it at all. They were afraid, they kept their mouth shut, but they didn't like it at all. And who was most afraid was the Ukrainian people. They really ran. There are thousands and thousands of Ukrainian people that came to Germany, and from Germany they came here. And the Ukrainian people had it much easier to come to America than we had. We had a lot of stuff, like I'm sitting here with you.
Yeah.
I was sitting in the CID for 2.5 hours.
CID.
With the same story, and you know, they knew exactly, he could ask him what barrack I was, where I was working, and they had exactly from every camp notes. And if they caught you at a lie, you were finished, you couldn't come to the United States. And when we were sworn in Bremen, in the consulate, my late husband had a very good friend, and he was, so he was in a camp, or because he was in a camp, he was afraid of every uniform. So when we were sworn in, he forgot to put the hat on. You know, we couldn't come for 6 months?
He forgot to put a hat on?
Yeah, when he was sworn in, he forgot to put the hat on. I said, Jew, you have to have a hat on.
For whom was this? And who was the CID? What does CID stand for?
It's an American organization. A government
organization.
Central
Intelligence Agency?
Yeah.
CIA.
No,
but they weren't in existence yet.
No. I don't know what CIA.
There was, they called it
in other words,
American military government.
They screened you.
That's right. They screened it, but not that they wouldn't take husband and wife together. I came, and then came my husband, and then they compared.
This was not the consulate. This was other than the consulate.
Of course. In the consulate you came in Bremen, this was the last stop, there you were sworn in. But we had a tough time to come here, it wasn't so easy. But the funny thing happened, you know, after all the trouble we went through. You know, for instance, they didn't speak German, they had a secretary to translate it. There was sitting a girl who I don't know if she belonged before to the Nazi party or if she didn't belong, I don't know. But she hated us regardless what. And she was sitting there, and this guy was asking me, how come if you are married so long you have no children? Don't you have sexual relations or you have other boyfriends you go to bed?
He asked you.
Yeah, and I wasn't the only one. I know it from personal experience, but I had later many others were asked this. And after all the concentration camp and after all the trouble to get finally here, we came in on a military transporter. We didn't pay. We had to wash the room, the cabins, and the, and my husband worked in the kitchen. And there was the cook, a colored fellow. And I don't know what why he didn't like my husband at first, and he said to him, get out from here, you fucking Jew. This was the begrüßung in America. This was the welcome. You can imagine what good taste I had when I came here.
When you came, where did you come? To New York?
Yeah. I was in New York for 12 years.
What, did any Jewish organization help you?
The highest was there. But we had a cousin in New York, and we stayed with her. So we didn't go to the highest.
Can I call
you?
You're
welcome.
Well,
finish it. Don't just...
Thank you very, very much.
You're very welcome.
It's, the world hasn't learned too much.
No. I'm sorry to say, the world hasn't learned too much.
No. The Jews are still...
No, you know, what hits me sometimes very funny, after all what I went through, when people say to me, why are you so bitter? You know, then sometimes we have people here, different people, from I don't know where and I don't care. And knowing, because I make no secret out of it, everybody knows it. They know it. My first husband was Polish. He came from Krakow. It's the half from Poland.
So
he couldn't speak a word German when I met him. I couldn't speak Polish. So can you imagine our first date? And people, knowing this, they didn't make remark. The Polish and the Polish and the Polish. And I kept jumping. Not because it's the Polish. They are Jewish people.
That's right.
Didn't we learn yet?
No.
And there were 3 million Jews, Polish Jews, and there were only 550,000 German Jews.
But they can't understand. Or they give me a story. Then they tell me, but can you understand, after the war, the Polish, they waren die größten Schwarzen in Deutschland. Then the people weren't there. They just talk. I was there. Because I came, the war was finished in May, and I came in October 45 to Germany, right? Now I ask you a question. People like me, we were very fortunate that my husband could open a Weberei, nicht vom Schwarzhandel, nur die Bank hat uns geborgt Geld. Es war ein Zufall. Aber von wo haben wir, oder die Leute, die von Russland gekommen sind, Sachen gehabt zum Schwarzhandel? Von wo? Das, was die UNA gegeben hat, war zum Schwarzhandel nicht genug. Das hat gerade zum Essen gehabt. But I will tell you, because I lived it through. Da war das Schuhgeschäft. Von dem hat man nicht keinen Schuh bekommen. Da war kein Schuh. Aber wenn man zu ihm gegangen ist, when I went to him, and many times I did, and I told him, could you use gasoline? Or could you use American cigarette? Oh, sure. Could I have a pair of shoes? What color? You could have everything. So was the drug is. I went with my leg. I was recommended to a doctor who worked together with Sauerbruch, the doctor of big Mr. Hitler, Dr. Zinzinger. When I came to him, he was living in a room and a kitchen. He was not allowed to practice because he was working together with Sauerbruch. I came for one reason. It was after the war, there was very little doctors, and I was recommended that he will help my foot. Mrs. Zinzinger, who called herself doctor, of course she was the doctor's wife, der die Frau Doktor, told me, yeah, of course, my husband will see you. But you see, money is nothing today. What could we have? Would you have bread? Would you have bone in cafe? And I gave him the bone in cafe. That he couldn't help me, I don't blame him for him, because I was late at many doctors where he couldn't help me. But he was the first one, and I have it, and the Wiedergutmachung had it, who put me out, who gave me the attest that I came from the camp to him, and that was done for the camp, and what I have said, he had seen by X-ray, it's right. Wonderful. Only 2 years later, he opened in the suburb from Munich a beautiful sanatorium for sportsfälle. And when he was asked from the Wiedergutmachung if he gave me the attest, he said yes, because I asked for it. But actually, he don't know if this happened in the concentration camp or somewhere on the street.
Well, this typical German note, this typical German, this confirms an article which was in Time magazine about a month ago about the behavior, less than a month ago, about the behavior of the German medical profession under Hitler, the free cooperation which these doctors furnished to the Hitler government. And what you say there really confirms the observations by this team who looked into the behavior of German...
There was a doctor by the name of Dr. Bäume. He was in Tirschenreuth, in this little town where I came to Germany from Poland. When I came there, he was already in prison, because he made all the experiments in Auschwitz with young girls.
Were any such experiments going on in...
Yes, but not where I was. Well, he was in prison. His wife was living in the next house where I was living, in a big apartment. She only had 6 rooms because she has 2 children. But she was very unfortunately, because her maid came from my hometown. It was accidentally, but unfortunately for her. When my brother came from Poland, my brother was in the army, and finally he had to escape with his wife because he was afraid he will kill him. He came to Tirschenreuth. Well, usually the DP camp in Germany, if you are familiar, they were all together living in barracks. In this small town where I was, we had our own apartment. We liquidated them from the Germans. I took away, I tell you openly, I raised hell. I took away an apartment from a German. I only put him in the basement. I didn't put him but I raised hell with the Bürgermeister. When my sister came, she was pregnant with my brother. There was no apartment. And I told him, Dr. Bäumel has only 6 rooms. Well, all I want is one room. And he got a room. The office for me was liquidated and given to a doctor, a German doctor. I'm still in contact with him by the name of Dr. Enders. A fellow went to the Nazi party, but he was a socialist. Well, when Hitler came, he took away his doctor, and they put him on the front to Kiev. When his wife gave birth to her first child, she was paralyzed. His officer called him and said, look, your wife is paralyzed. But when she died, I will think if I let you go or not, because you never belonged to the Hitler party. Then when he came back, since he was no Hitler, and Hitler took away his office, they gave him Dr. Bäumer's office. Right? It took only a year. Dr. Bäumer came back. He had a lot of money, so he came back. They gave him back his office. They threw Dr. Enders out on the street, and they gave him back the office, and Dr. Bäumer was a doctor again. And people will tell me today that there are no Nazis in Germany.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Respect. Yeah.